Welcome to the Loving People Podcast. We are your hosts, Patrick
and Rita,
and our goal is to point you to Jesus in all struggles of this life. Now, this season, we've been talking all about identity. Identity is something that everybody is looking for, either intuitively or they know. Hey, I'm on the hunt for this. I'm looking and I'm searching, but you can't find it on Google. That's the hard part. So as we're talking about identity, we've had a few episodes so far, but today we're really honing in on the idea of instilling values. And as we talk about instilling values, Rita, we're just going to jump in it today. Okay. Not really going to have some small talk or chit chat on the front end, because this is kind of a heavy one. Instilling values. We're talking about where we find worth, where we find that value, and how we give it to others. And I think that's worth saying on the front end. You and I talked about this. Instilling values is something that we do. We give to others as we speak life. We speak. But it's also something we receive, right?
You know, and I think, Patrick, in receiving those values, we have to remember we were created in the image of Christ, of God. We were created in His image to be who He wants us to be.
That's right.
So that's where we have to go to find what is our value, what is our identity. Where do we get our worth? It doesn't come from what other people think about it. It's, are we bringing honor and glory to the Lord?
Yeah.
That's the key.
So good. It's as if He was our architect, our designer, and we have to go back to Him to know what was our intention, what was our purpose. And once we do that, then we can go on that discovery process of values and
worth.
Well,
think about when you were a kid and you did a science project.
Okay.
And you had this whole project worked out. Your teacher came and said, tell me about it. And with just a glint in your eye, you began to explain, this is what this is, this is what it does, this is why I chose this, this is what it's going to do, and so on. What if we imagine the Father with us saying, this is my prized creation.
Yeah.
This is what I created them to be like me. I want them to be an image of me, a reflection of me. So in doing that, my word says, you're loved, you're cherished. I'm giving you the fruits of the Spirit to help you. I'm giving you spiritual gifts that I want you to use, and this is the purpose. That's where it all comes from, and that's just like a little kid with a science project. He's proud of us. He says, when He created man, that's very good.
Yeah.
He was pleased with it. So that's what we have to think about when we think about having values instilled in us and instilling values in others.
That's such a good analogy. I love that. You know, that makes me think. I think it's in Psalm 139. I know it's in Psalm somewhere where that verse, it says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, a lot of people hear that today and wonder, is that true about me? Like, am I really fearfully and wonderfully made? And that's where I pray this podcast is helpful. Because a lot of people question, do I really have worth? Do I have value? Because the world has told me no, and yet I go to God's word, and the word says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, but it doesn't feel like that.
When you talk about fearfully, it's not a fear. It is fearfully as in awe.
Yes.
As in reverence. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's huge. And you're right. The world does not tell us that.
Yeah.
They say, you scumbag.
Yes. Yeah. And so we hear that from God and we think, is this real? Mm-hmm. Can I trust you? Is that something that I can lean on and really find that consistent value and worth in?
That's
so,
right.
And we can say yes, but the answer is really bigger than that, which is the purpose of the podcast today. So when we hear the phrase instilling values, what are some things that we can think of? What values? Why is it important? Does it really matter?
When I think of instilling values, I always go back to my childhood. because it seems like children are little sponges. They're just so ready to receive, and they hang on every word you say, and they think that you know what you're talking about. By the time they hit teenagers, you're no longer smart. You're stupid. You don't have. It's a wonder you can
you
even
said
get
the word
from
stupid.
I'm sorry. No, we don't say that. But I mean, it's the truth. They think you have no idea what you're talking about. And so I go back to when I was a child, and my mom and my grandmother and Mr. Clyde and Miss Ruby Jo instilled values. They taught me how to be a good person. They lived their lives showing me what it was like to be in the image of our Creator.
Wow.
And so that's what I think of. In today's terms, I think that instilling values a lot of times is just stopping long enough to have a conversation.
Yes.
You have to tell young people, you know, I hear you. I see you. You're important. Let's talk about this. So that's where I go with it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And when they see somebody giving them that attention, you're right. They do listen. Mm-hmm. That's a great word. You know, some things I kind of thought as we were talking about this idea of instilling value from a pastoral perspective is, you know, who gets to instill values? Like, who has the authority to instill values? And we, if we're thinking of, okay, I'm on the receiving end, I really got to be careful who I allow to speak into my life when it comes to speaking values. Because if I let the wrong person do it, then I found value in the wrong thing. I found inconsistent value. And I will, in the end, feel worthless if I look for that in the wrong place.
That's right.
And so in the end, the ultimate authority that gets to speak value is God. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we will find consistent worth and value. As, like you said, he's our designer. He's our creator. We were made in his image. And as he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, our value is the same yesterday, today, and
That's
tomorrow.
Right.
And that value is worth dying for. Is what he did, died That's on the cross
right.
for our sins. And we want to wonder what we are worth. We can look at the cross.
That's
and that's
right.
the love that he loved us with. And as we talk about, you know, who can speak into our lives, who has the authority, I don't know if you want to say anything on that end.
Well, you know, a lot of times, I know respect is something that we talk about a lot in with kids, with teenagers. And I hear older people say, you know, people just aren't as respectful as they used to be. Driving down Rogers Avenue, you find a lack of respect. You know, so there's lots of things going on. But the Bible says the fifth commandment is to love your mother and father. Love your father and mother. Honor them. God gave them to us as an authority in our lives. We need to listen. And I think so much of the time today with broken homes and dysfunctional families and single parents, and there's just a lot of confusion about who can speak with authority into my life. Yeah. If a parent has remarried, then the person that they have chosen, they have given God God has given them the authority over the child, and mm-hmm. they have passed that authority on to their mate.
Yes.
So much of the time I hear people, or especially kids, say, he's not my parent. She's not my mom. I don't have to do what she says. If the parent has given that person that role in their life, they do. They owe them that. And those people can speak values into our lives. Our church staff, our life group teachers, you know, they speak life.
Yes.
You can trust that. And if you can't, we've got a problem.
Yes.
So, and I know that's a pretty blanket statement, but I think for the most part, it's true. You can trust those. They're vetted. I know here at First Southern, we go through and we make sure that they're teaching what the Bible says, and
yeah.
that's our authority.
Yeah, we can't have somebody just show up and on their first mm-hmm. Sunday, all of a sudden they're a life group teacher. I know we have some rules in place. You have mm-hmm. to have been here for a period of time to where we know you as a person. We want to know, not only do you have the competency to teach, but you have the character to back that up.
That's right.
And then you got to pass background checks. I mean, yeah. there's a process.
That's right.
To know, okay, this is a person that before we hand over that authority, we know we can trust them.
That's exactly
and
right.
They're going to speak life.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. So when our worth is found in Christ, as it says here, we understand our purpose is to glorify Him. We're less likely to be swayed by worldly values that conflict with our faith, whether those are things that go against God's word or maybe are just in addition to God's word. God's word is consistent, and I love how 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says it. It is God-breathed, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And I think it's so cool we see this connection where God breathes life mm-hmm. into us. All of creation has the breath of life. Mm-hmm. The only thing that makes us different is that we're in the image of God. So, you know, our dog has the breath of life. We have the breath of life. But our dog is not made in the image of God. We
That's
are.
Right.
But at the same time, the word of God is God breathed, and it's as if we go to His word, we receive this oxygen that's God's breath to us, and it just helps us, it revives us, and we go to His word and we embrace that and we find worth, we find value. So we got a few questions that we'll walk through here. Why instill values? Why is this important?
Everyone is searching for their worth. I have a book in my library that I found this week because I've been doing a lot of work in my library this week.
A little bit.
Search for Significance. And it's all about where you find your self-worth. There is a peace that comes when you know who you are mm-hmm. in the Lord. And it is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Good I enough. Don't get it, but He does. And that's something that we need, we crave, we search for that yeah. value and that worth. And when we are really rooted in God's word, we are no longer searching because we have our significance.
Yes. So I know we've mentioned God's word. Is there a role that the Holy Spirit plays in this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think He convicts us. I think He draws us near. I'll use an example. I spent this morning at Miss Ruby Jo's house. She's heavy on my mind today. Okay. I spent the morning at her house, and she sits in a chair beside the piano, and I have the opportunity to practice because my piano is not set up right now. So I go to her house on Thursday mornings, and I spend about an hour practicing. And she sings, and she listens. Sometimes she claps, and sometimes she tells me that there were bad notes, but she's sure it was because the piano needed to be tuned and not me.
She's so generous.
She's very kind with it. But there is a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Wow.
In that moment. And it's not because of me. It's not because of her. It's because the Holy Spirit is at work in the room with us.
Yeah.
And He calms us. And He speaks to our hearts. He speaks to her heart in one way. And He speaks to mine in a very different way. I hope that He also speaks to Ashley, her caregiver, in a different way. And it's just such a role that we cannot minimize.
Yeah, got that right. Amen to that. So when we do this, when we instill values in the right way, is there like a special motivation that comes with that, or does it motivate us properly?
If we have our identity securely in Christ, we want to please Him. Yeah. We want to honor Him. And that should be our motivating factor. Well, you're so good looking. And if you can quote that movie, you can.
What movie is it? I don't.
Oh, it's from Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, goodness.
It's not a movie. It's Seinfeld.
Oh, Russ would be very pleased.
He would be very proud of us right now.
Anytime I'm about to sneeze, Maddie starts going, peanut butter, peanut butter, peanut butter, peanut butter. The first time she did that, I said, why are you screaming peanut butter? She said, it stops you from sneezing.
No, Maddie, it doesn't.
I 20% of the time, it works 100% of the time. We have fun in the Metter household. Yeah. We do.
Yeah. Sorry, back to motivating actions.
Yes.
You know, I just think that I can't even think where we are right now.
Motivating actions.
you're going to be motivated to live your life according to how, according to the image of Christ, because you want to please Him.
That
should be our motivation.
Yeah. And that brings about a kind of transformation that we would not be able to accomplish on our own.
Yeah. But you know, as you grow in Christ and as you grow in knowledge of Him and the Holy Spirit directs and you follow that and you're obedient, it becomes easier to resist the temptations because they no longer look like temptations. I always use the analogy that when you're a kid and you touch a hot plate and mom says, "That's hot." Well, yeah. The first time you're going to have to touch it. The next time she says it's hot, you're going to think a minute. Yeah. You may still reach out and touch it, but you're going to think about it for just a minute. What did that cost me?
Yes.
And so that brings about that transformation. And it's easier to say, you know, I want to bring honor and glory to the Lord. That's just not worth it.
Yeah.
And that's something I wish our kids could grasp.
Yeah. I'm in that phase with our 4-year-old Lucy right now, and it's fun to watch. It's funny. And yet sad at the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, so that's kind of the why question. Now, we're going to go over what are some of these values in particular that can be instilled. And before we do this, we have to say this is not an exhaustive list, but it is a starting point. I would say these are some of the primary things that maybe we're a parent and we're seeking to instill values in our kids. Maybe we're a grandparent with that opportunity. I know you, as you look at Jack and Abby and the other two, Harley and Bentley, and you want to speak values into their life as
That's
well.
Right.
Maybe you're an aunt or uncle, or you just got the privilege of being an adult in a kid's life, whether it's life group leader, whatever that looks like. These are some of the primary ones to keep in mind. And here's what I love. I think this is important. I heard this a while back, and I keep this in mind as a father. So often, we celebrate things, and, you know, I've got two girls, and it's so easy to say, "Oh, you look so beautiful today." And I'm going to say that. I want them to know that I think they're beautiful. But if I only ever instill value in their looks, if I only ever say, "Look at your report card, you're so smart," then they'll find that identity
That's
in
right.
their looks. They'll find that identity in their brains.
That's right.
I want to say, "Hey, I love how you treated that person. You're kind." I want to
That's
celebrate
right.
those things as well. So we as parents can keep those things in mind as well. I can't remember what book I got that from, but that was very paradigm shifting for me. My oldest daughter, now 7, she was probably 1 or 2 at the time. And that just, I'll never forget that. I want to remember that. And Maddie, my wife, being a kindergarten teacher, she said so many parents come in for parent-teacher conferences and the only thing they worry about was
the
report
card.
What are the grades? How are they doing? She said this year there was one family that came in, and she said, "This is the kind of parent I want to be." So they came in, and then Maddie walked through the grades with them, and they said, okay, that's great, but the thing we really want to focus on, is he kind? How does he treat other kids? Does he listen to you, like, as a teacher?" And they were focusing on other things that were not just competencies, but character.
That's right.
And oh man, when we only think of competencies, we're raising robots. And we have to remember, we're raising human beings created in the image of God.
That's right.
And we have such an opportunity to instill these values. So that's my bit before we dive into this. I know you've got a few things here that are all from the Bible. We're not trying to create our own list here. We're just pulling from the Bible. So what are some of these traits or values that we could instill into people in our lives?
I think the first one is kind of our motto here at First Southern is love God and love people. And that's taken directly from Mark 12:30-31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Teach the importance to whoever you are instilling values in. And it can be another adult.
Yes, it can.
But instilling them, we have to always love God and love people.
It's a good word. It's not only children or teenagers. Mm-hmm. There are adults who have found identity for their whole lives in the wrong thing, or maybe they've been told lies their whole life. And for fresh ears, maybe at 40, 50, 60 years old, they need to hear these truths.
Well, I think even if they have had these values instilled in them, we need to be reminded.
Yes.
And there are times that I need to hear from my pastor, you need to love God first.
Yes.
And then love people.
Yeah.
And that's all that really matters in this life. And it's a reminder to keep the main thing the main thing.
Amen. Okay, so, we're done today.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so we got love.
The second one that we have talked about is faith. Of course, Hebrews 11 talks about that. I love to give this. 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." We have to learn to trust God even when we can't see how it's going to come out. Did this make a difference to you this past week?
Hey. Oh, yeah. Yes, it did.
You know, I remember long, long time ago, I was in a Beth Moore Bible study, and it was in Hebrews. And when she came to this, she said, Hebrews 11 has 40 verses. Hebrews 11:41 says, now put in your name. So it would say, now read up. And I have that written in my Bible. Because when I'm gone, what will my life say about my faith? By faith, Rada, what?
That's a good word.
That's why it's important to instill faith as a value in people around you.
Wow. Okay, so we got love, we got faith. I know next you've got forgiveness on here.
That's huge.
And hard.
Matthew 6:14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Jesus displayed forgiveness by pardoning those who had committed a crime against him.
You know, and we tend to categorize sin when people sin against us. Sometimes we say, well, okay, that wasn't a big deal. I'm going to let that one slide. But someone else, we may look at them and say, you hurt me. I can't forgive you. Now, there's a whole nother podcast for this. You can forgive and not forget.
Yeah.
That's possible. There's a book by Lisa Turkhurst on that, and it's very good.
Yes.
But the man who was offended more than anybody else was able to forgive. And because he has forgiven us, we are able to now forgive others.
Yeah. And it's the same with love. He loved us so that we're able to in turn give that. You can't give away what you don't have.
Yes.
I've been forgiven. Who am I to hold a grudge?
Mm.
You know, when you teach forgiveness too, especially to children, you kind of foster an attitude of empathy or understanding, being peaceful in relationships. It teaches all of that. And as well as you can teach them, this will bring peace to the playground. It'll also teach them to have a peace with their father.
Got that right. Mm-hmm. Good, good, good. And then honesty.
Honesty. Who likes a liar?
Nobody.
Nobody. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are extremely disgusting to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Lies breaks relationships with God.
Yes.
It breaks relationships with others. Mm-hmm. There's mistrust. It breaks down all of the relationships. If you cannot be trusted, you don't have anything.
Got that right.
That's why our Father is so trustworthy. And he proves himself over and over and over. And by instilling this value of trusting him, of not lying, and what that's worth, it's just phenomenal.
Yes. It's paradigm shifting. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. And Satan, on the opposite end, is the father of lies. So,
that's right.
And when we find ourselves either lying or have been lied to, we know either we are finding worth in the father of lies, or the person lying to us is finding worth in the father of lies.
You know, and one thing in counseling, I'm sorry to interrupt. Oh. One thing in counseling that I always say, you cannot control someone else.
Yes.
But you can control what comes out of your mouth. You can control your response to what someone else says.
Yes.
And that's vital. I am going to be accountable for what I say and do and how I respond.
Yes.
And I want to be a good steward of what I have.
You know, we don't normally think of our words. We are steward of our words as well. It's not just our money and our time. We are steward of our words.
That's right.
Oh, so we got those. What's next on the list here?
Humility. Okay. Philippians 2:3-4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others." The value here is respect for other people.
Yes.
Yeah. There's so much, we just, like I said earlier, we have lost the respect. And it's time that we start teaching that again, and we start instilling that in other people, even adults. We're disrespectful to each other. Shame on us.
Yeah. Even if it's, hey, we're having a conversation, I'm not going to look at my phone. Mm. I hate that has become socially acceptable. Mm-hmm. I hate that. But no, this, good word. We got a few more here. The next one is obedience.
When we think of obedience, we think of children. But you know something? I can be a disobedient adult.
How so?
I can break the law. I have that choice. I can disappoint my Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. I can be disobedient to Him. I can be disobedient in a job. It's not just for kids. Yeah. Obedience is put there because rules and commands are there for our good. We bring glory to God when we obey.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, we've got a few more here. Patience is next on the list.
I probably better not touch that one.
What do they say? Don't pray for patience because then you'll get an opportunity.
Yeah, that's right. So, Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying." We have to be steadfast. When the water rises, we have to have faith. We have to have that confidence, and we have to believe that even though we don't see how, we have to be patient and wait on the Lord. He's going to show us, and He's going to fix it, and it's going to be better.
Yeah. And it's so interesting. I wonder if Paul, as he wrote that, Romans 12:12, if you were to look at us in 2025 where we've got everything at our fingertips, oh, we want to watch a show, okay, we pull it up on whatever our streaming service is and we have it right then and there. We want to drive somewhere or get somewhere way across town, we're there within 10 minutes because we have modern transportation. For him, that would have taken a day or two to get there. For him, he would have had to wait for a theater to see a show or whatever it is. And he would see how impatient we are and probably think, you have all lost your mind.
You spoiled children.
Yes.
I want what I want, and I want it right now.
Yeah. I watched it with my kids when they were little. You know, I grew up with technology have progressed quite a bit when I was a kid. But we didn't have streaming services when I was a kid. You watched TV, cable, and commercials came on. And I remember when my kids were really little, we didn't have cable at our house because cable's crazy expensive. So we did some streaming services. They could watch what they wanted when they wanted. We visited my parents. They had cable. Their watch commercials would come on and they would get angry. They would start throwing a fit. I don't want this. I want Paw Patrol or Bluey or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I just thought this was all I had as a kid. And yet my children can't handle a commercial for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Well, and I think that it goes back to, we did technology.
Uh-huh.
I think it goes back to, we are so accustomed to having everything at our fingertips that we have not been taught to be patient, to wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's scriptural.
Yeah.
For us to wait on the Lord, and we're not good at it. And so we try to fix it ourselves, and we make the mess bigger, and he's just waiting on us to finally hand it over to him. And I'm sure he shakes his head and he says, "You selfish little kids."
But when he waits patiently.
Yes, he does.
Okay, so we want to not only do patience, but instill generosity in others.
Proverbs 11:25 says, "The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." This is not the prosperity gospel. Mm-hmm. I can pour kindness into someone and that will refresh them. That's part of the generosity. It's not about wealth. It's not about making money. It's about, again, being in the image of Jesus. When he walked this earth, he gave love. He exhibited patience. He was long-suffering. He gave joy. He gave patience. He just did all of this, self-control.
Yeah.
He did all of this, and he did it generously.
Yeah. It wasn't begrudgingly or anything.
It was with a cheerful heart. I have a little precious moment that says God loves a cheerful giver. And I love that because when I give something, no matter what it is, a tip at a restaurant or whatever, if I do it with a cheerful heart, he's going
to
bless me.
Amen.
He's
to that.
Going, and it may not come in money. It may come in acts of kindness or someone doing me a favor or picking me up when I need to be picked up. All kinds of generosity.
Yeah.
And I'm... We need that.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. All right, we got two more. First one here is gratitude.
Be thankful in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "A grateful heart is a happy heart." It encourages positivity, and it also encourages appreciation. How many times have you given someone something, and they didn't say thank you?
And that, a grateful heart goes a long way. We can say that.
Yeah.
There's this app. I'm not pulling out my phone to be a distraction.
Yes, he is.
But
he's checking his email.
All right. So what's it called? Gratitude Jar. Bam. So I got this app called Gratitude Jar. Hello. You pull that up, and I have it go off every day at 9 a.m. It says, "Do your gratitude jar for the day." And I'll type in something in there, submit it, and it throws it in this digital jar. And you can go and look at your log, and it'll pull up all these things that you've been grateful for. And it retrains your brain. Neural pathways.
It does.
To now where you could think of it like a trail. Your neural pathway of gratitude, maybe if you're a pessimistic person, those gratitude pathways have grown up. And you've got to take some chainsaws. You've got to go dig that trail back out to where it's easy to walk that pathway. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, you start becoming more, having more gratitude for things. Then your mind will naturally go down those pathways more quickly.
You know, and even in adults, and I know a lot of this sounds like we are instilling in children, but I keep thinking about even in adults, if they always have a negative comment, we have to instill in them the generosity, the kindness, all of these values that we've talked about in order to change the way that their brain works. And it can be done no matter how old you are.
Yeah. Now, it might take a little longer, but it is possible. I'm not going to get super nerdy here, but the child's and the adolescent's brains are so...
That's right.
They call it plastic, so moldable, and those pathways are a lot easier to create and move and shift at that point. But once we start getting into our 20s and beyond, they're a little bit more concrete. Doesn't mean it can't be done. It just takes a little bit more time.
Well, and as mature Christians, we have an obligation to work on that.
Yes, we do, which leads to responsibility.
That's right. Hey, that was a good segue, wasn't it? We need to understand the concept of responsibility, being accountable for our actions, our obligations, our thoughts, our words. We are responsible for our own actions. adults and children alike.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that.
Yes.
Galatians 6:5 instructs us that we are to carry our own loads. We're responsible for our actions.
Yes. And with this, I'd like to add one that's not on the list. It's discipline.
Oh.
And that's I have to say this as somebody in my role in ministry, working with youth and college and just kind of young adults. Discipline in this upcoming generation is lacking. Mm-hmm. And the amount of, I know we always picked on millennials, the amount of people just wanting to live at home. Now, for the longest time, you know, we had stay-at-home moms. Now we kind of see stay-at-home dads. They call them stay-at-home kids now. Where they're in their 20s and early 30s, just living with parents, not looking for a job, not wanting to do anything. We need discipline. The Lord has called us to work, and work was instituted pre-fall in the Bible. Before anything fell, before sin entered the world, God said work, and he said work is good. Mm-hmm. And so we're designed for that. We got to do it. We have to have discipline.
That's right.
And I'm going to leave it at that. So how do we, whether we're a parent, aunt, uncle, grandparent, leader in a child's life, how do we instill value?
We lead by example.
Mm. It's not like a pharisaical, do as I say, not as I do.
People are watching, whether it's young people, whether it is coworkers, whether it is people on Rogers Avenue, people are watching us. They are watching how we respond. And if we claim to be Christians, we need to imitate Jesus.
Yes. And then with that, we have to be a person of integrity as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm. Got to live what we say, practice what we preach. And in the process, we know it's not overnight. We could say it's not a microwave, it's a crock pot.
That's right.
Yeah. So I know we need to show patience, show grace.
It's not easy, but it's necessary.
Amen. Amen. So lead by example. How else can we instill value?
Engage in family devotion and personal quiet time.
Yeah.
Spend time with the Father.
Yeah.
By spending time with Him, we pray, we read the Bible, we can go to church together, we collectively come to Him and say, show us, reveal yourself. And that's my prayer so much of the time. Father, just show me. Show me your will. You instill what you want.
That's good. I love that. Simple. It's not complicated.
No.
I know next you have serve others.
Serve others. Find opportunities to serve. Involve all members of your family. At First Southern, we have family services once a month, and the children are encouraged to serve alongside of the adults in greeting, in prayer time, in whatever is going on. I know when you do the announcements, you have the kids up with you doing it. Sometimes when Daniel reads scripture, he's got one of his kids in his arms.
Yeah.
That is a perfect illustration of teaching them what it's like to serve. It may not seem like it at the time. Griff may just want to be held, but still he's with Dad. Dad's reading the scripture to other people. That's showing him service. It's showing him how it's done.
Yeah.
We have VBS. We have our Ministry Matters formulas that's just gone out, our forms that have just gone out, women's ministry. There are so many different ways that you can serve. If you're not serving, it's because you've not plugged in.
Say that louder for the people in the back.
Can't believe I really just said it, but that it's the truth. There are opportunities to serve. We have so many things going on at our church, and I know we as a staff have had some illustrations this past week of how we have to function as the body. And I know Daniel in his leadership meeting said our church wants 100% of the people doing 100% of the work.
Yes.
Well, that involves everyone.
Yeah.
And the job, there's no job that's too big or too small.
Got that right.
Jesus needs us, God needs us to come along and to do the work so that He will be honored.
Yes. Amen. All right, we want to encourage open communication.
We have to allow people to ask questions. We have to allow them to come to us. We have to be approachable in this. Even I had a conversation with my grandson and his mom this week, and I said, it's okay for you to ask questions, but you must do it respectfully. You must do it honorably. You cannot come with an attitude. Yeah. You know, and we have to encourage open communication. And I think that a lot of times, especially with our younger people, we need to teach them to do that because they don't communicate well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We want to also create a supportive environment.
Attend church. Find a church. One of my things in counseling is you do not have to come to church here. I want to know where you're going. Yeah. I want to see your notes from church.
Yeah.
You have to find that group, a life group, women's ministry, youth group, whatever it is that speaks to you. PWP, percolating with the pastors.
I was going to say define that.
PWP is percolating with the pastors on the second Tuesday of the month. Our pastor sat down with our senior adults. It's a wonderful time of sharing, of laughing. I think you all took them fishing this last time.
Well, we went fishing.
Well, okay. They went fishing. But it's a good time to have open communication. Yeah. Find your group.
That's good.
You also, with that, guidance has to be provided.
Yes.
You have to, it can't just be any group. There's bowling leagues and there's groups at karaoke clubs and stuff like that that's probably not where you need the communication open. But this is in instilling the values. And
yes,
that's where the open communication has to come in.
This isn't community for community's sake. We were designed to be in community,
right.
But we're talking about community with the opportunity, maybe not the sole intent of speaking values, but with the opportunity to do so.
The last point on the open communication is to be patient and understanding. It seems like we've hit that a lot today, but don't rush to judgment or dismiss questions. Take time to answer them and show them how to develop their own understanding of faith.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can do this in daily life even, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
So we could, I mean, you got, I know some people say, okay, let's talk about how we're raising kids. You've got time with them. You've got moments, like unplanned moments. Mm-hmm. You've got milestones. So we can use teachable moments.
Mm-hmm.
I know we can use even opportunities where we're watching maybe a movie, we're watching a TV show, and we say, do you think that's a good value? Or we say, what about this one?
I never will forget when my children were little. That was back when you could watch movies, and there was not a lot of bad language in it. But every once in a while, something would slip through.
Mm-hmm.
And when it did, no matter where I was in the house, I would holler, we don't say that.
Yeah.
Now, that seems simple, but that is instilling a value.
Yes.
As Christians, that's not the way we talk.
Yeah.
And I think that that's important. Of course, parents nowadays, if you're going to watch a movie, you may be screaming that the whole way through. So, you know, you have to be very careful because what goes in fills the heart and comes back out through the lips.
What is it they say? Garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
So I think one thing we need to say before we wrap things up here, you know, this last part that we were talking about is how do you instill values? Like, we're the one giving the values, and we got to be careful what values we give. But on the receiving end, I just want to simply say, be careful who you allow to speak into your life and be careful what values they are speaking into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, number one, first and foremost, needs to be the Word of God.
That's right.
Those values will never fail you.
That's right.
But if you're allowing a worldly person with a worldly perspective to speak value into your life, it will not end well. You will end sad, depressed, and feel worthless in the end. And you will feel dragged through the mud, and you will be hurt. But if you have a godly person who they are soaked and saturated in the Scriptures, godly wisdom, speaking good and true, biblical, Christ-like values into your life, you will feel the worth. You will feel the value. You'll feel the gratitude and the grace. The change will be amazing.
That's right.
Yeah. So before we close and wrap things up here, is there anything you want to add?
I think we've covered it.
That was a lot. So I feel like we can take a breath now. Well, hey, thank y'all for listening. If you, whatever platform you're listening on, go ahead, leave a good review, 5-star review. And thank you again for listening. And don't forget, love God.
And love people.
We'll see y'all later.